one of the major influences for Hudson Mohawk magazine for me when I became involved as a volunteer and a producer was to meet someone called Alexis Goldsmith. She had a very important part to play with Hudson Mohawk magazine. Hello, Alexis. What was your official title at Hudson Mohawk magazine?
Well, on my resume, I like to say I was the executive producer. It sounds a lot fancier than it really was. It was mostly bottom lining the show, and everybody else did the actual work.
We're continually producing segments. You're a musician, and you love farming, and that's part of your life. How have those two things influenced what you produced and what you did for Hudson Mohawk magazine?
The farming really bled into the garden that's next to the studio, Collard City Growers. So I was in the garden quite a bit, and we would record sounds in the garden and did a lot of interviews about things that were in the garden.
We loved having the chickens, too. The chickens were great. They'd visit the station once in a while.
Oh, yeah. When the chickens were babies, we would bring them into the studio and, you know, pass them around the table. And, you know, people would just have baby chickens in their laps. It was great. And then music. Do love music. I play the fiddle. And the Sanctuary was always bringing styles of music that I had never heard before, artists that I had never heard before for live performances. And if you listen to WOOC regularly, you know that we have the world music mix. And I always love listening to that. The Sanctuary is a great place to go to hear music from around the world, really. I would always record the station IDs with the artists that would come to the Sanctuary. That was fun.
But you were really responsible for seeing that the show went out every single day.
Yeah, pretty much. I was there every day. I lived across the street. They have an artist's residence there with 6 bedrooms. And I had one of the rooms for 2.5 years. Yeah, I just went across the street every day. It was very convenient. They feed you. So that's great, too.
Well, now that COVID's here, it's not quite as possible to gather around the table. In 2021, you started a new career because you do produce segments on this issue.
In 2021, I joined Beyond Plastics, which is a national nonprofit project based out of Bennington College, working to end plastic pollution. It is spearheaded by our president, Judith Ank. I am their organizing director, field organizer, whatever you want to call it. It's really an extension of work I started doing at the Sanctuary, in the Sanctuary basement, working with some local groups who were dealing with waste incineration issues or other waste issues, pollution issues, and grassroots organizing that we were doing to make the quality of life better in the Capital Region. And that's how I got my start in organizing. So now I produce a segment every Monday. I call it Plastic PSA. If you can think of a better name for it, please email me. But there's so much about plastic that most people don't realize, like the fact that it's made from oil and gas, the sheer amount of plastic that exists in the world, which is more than 1 ton for every person on Earth. The fact that less than 9% of plastic gets recycled, and the fact that this problem is getting worse. That's what I talk about on Plastic PSA. I also talk about things that need to be done about it, or my guests talk about what needs to be done, like banning plastic waste exports to the global south, like passing the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act, like taking the chasing arrow symbols off of plastic that's not actually recyclable or recycled, things like that. There are a lot of solutions. So I try to keep the focus on that on the Plastic PSA.
I know that you've worked also with the Norlite issue, which is that huge incinerating factory across the Hudson from Troy, from the Sanctuary, basically. Did you become aware of that when you first came to Troy and sat in that apartment and looked out and saw this huge smokestack billowing out over the city of Troy?
Well, I always saw the smokestack. At the time, I also worked at the food pantries for the Capital District part-time. In my morning commute, I would drive past it on the bypass, the 787 bypass off Route 7 to Albany. And I would always see these giant clouds of smoke. And I didn't know what it was until the Sanctuary held a workshop with Mike Burke, who's the executive producer of Democracy Now!, which also plays on WOOC, if you don't listen to it, every day at 5 p.m. And there was somebody there who brought up the Norlite incinerator and said, you guys said you really need to look into this. I don't remember who the name of the person who brought it up. And I was like, Norlite, I've never heard of that. And so we actually started looking into it. We requested a tour of the facility. Norlite did give us like a tour of their offices and like a slideshow. We met the DEC monitor there, Joseph Hattersbeck. And at that time, we didn't know anything about this facility. We were just trying to learn what it was. But then we started meeting every Wednesday in the basement of the sanctuary, doing research, submitting FOIL requests, trying to learn more. And when we started scratching at the surface, we began to find things that were downright shocking, which we have talked about a lot in our organizing Norlite's enforcement history, you know, just the fact that they're burning hazardous waste in a densely populated area and nobody knows about it. So we did that for more than a year and we weren't really getting anywhere. We couldn't get people to listen to us. We didn't have a strategy. We didn't really know what to do with all this information that we had gathered. And then the PFAS story broke the story in February 2020 that Norlite had been burning the AFFF foam. And that got a lot of news coverage. And so we springboarded off of that basically and said, hey, this is really just the tip of the iceberg at this facility of what's going on. And from there, people started to pay more attention because they had heard about the facility because of the AFFF issue. And we've used the platform that we now have to make people aware that Norlite is the largest mercury polluter in the state. The dust that blows off of the facility has glass shards in it that can cause silicosis, and the dust is a regular issue. The fact that this facility burned more than 2 million gallons of AFFF in secret and the DEC monitor knew about it, that moment when we were in the office at Norlite, me and the interns at the sanctuary, you know, we were just like 20-year-old college students at the time. We talked to Joseph Hattersbeck, and that was the time that they were burning the AFFF. The DEC has never explained how it was that they publicly claimed that they didn't know that the AFFF was being burned, but the monitor knew. So that's still a question mark.
Because of the work that you've done or that the Norlite group did, there's a law passed, a state law.
Yeah, we got a law passed that incinerators in New York State cannot burn AFFF firefighting foam. And then Governor Cuomo was very reluctant to sign that bill, even though it was very popular. But we pressured him. We did a public campaign. We did phone calls. We did letters to the editor and he signed it. I don't think that he had a choice but to sign that very important piece of legislation. PFAS is a real problem in New York State, and we are just learning. We barely understand the scope of the problem, but we can't make the problem worse with unproven burning and using the Capital District as a guinea pig and using the residents of Cohoes as guinea pigs.
No, thank you. That's great. You did a wonderful job. Here we go. It's 2022. What do you think's going? Are we going to have some good environmental issues solved or at least attack?
I think that it's going to be a lot and going to be very overwhelming. I hope that people who have been motivated in recent years to get involved in organizing keep that up and bring other people along with them, like adopt a local political campaign or adopt a local issue. Just put your energy into something and know that you don't have to do it all by yourself. You have other people to help you. And, you know, I'm looking forward to some personal growth in 2022. I want to learn some new skills. I want to plant some trees and get back to music, learn a new instrument. I really want to learn the banjo, but I have no banjo and no one to teach me, but I'm not going to let that stop me. I just wanted to learn how to horseback ride. I love horses. I've just never taken lessons, so I'm going to look for some lessons in 2022.
That sounds like a great plan for the year. In the meantime, we'll be seeing you on Monday nights for your special segment, Sound WOOC. Thanks so much, Selexis, and have a great year.
Thank you, Andrea.